Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the sergeant-at-arms be instructed to bring in absentee members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Today's chaplain is the Reverend Kevin McDonough from the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. You're up on a high-level deal here.
Mr. President, Senators, I have just a brief reading from a wonderful publication from Minnesota's own Hazelden from yesterday, but a good reminder of Valentine's Day and all of what you're about. We want others to love us. We search to find love. But when we have our lives together, we focus our energies on loving rather than looking for love. We are to work at increasing our capacity. When our lives are out of order, we, quote, love to drink, do drugs, party, gamble, so on. We might love to do these things, but they are not loving behaviors. When we have our priorities straight, we learn that we need to do the work of love. We see a need, we work to be of service. Let us pray. Higher power, help me to stop looking for love. Teach me how to increase my capacity to love others. Provide me with opportunities to be of service. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you very much. Secretary will take the roll. Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzel, Bonoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fishbach, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Larson, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Neville, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Pariseau, Pogemiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Wergen, and Weger. Quorum is present.
Quorum is present.
First order of business is executive and official communications. They are printed on today's agenda. Next order of business is messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House file herewith transmitted. House file number 160, signed Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Next order of business is first reading of House bills. There's one printed on today's agenda without objection, first reading of House bills. Next order of business is reports of committees. Senator Pogemiller.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the committee reports printed in today's agenda be adopted.
On the Pogemiller motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The next order of business is second reading of Senate bills. There are four on the agenda. They are printed on today's agenda without objection. Second reading of Senate bills. Next order of business is motions and resolutions. There are a number of authors' motions. Without objection, we will take them as one motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Sieben, you're withdrawing a bill from the Committee on Energy, Utilities, and Technology, and we're referring it to the Committee on Environmental and Natural Resources. Is that, have
yes,
you talked to both the authors?
Yes, Mr. President. Okay. I've spoken with both committee chairs.
And they agree. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. There are a couple of resolutions on today's agenda without objection. They will be sent to the Rules Committee. Next order of business is the Senate calendar. First one on today's calendar is House File 110. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 110, a bill for an act relating to waters, enacting the Great Lakes St. Lawrence River Basin Water Resources Compact.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote, secretary will close the roll. There being 57 ayes and 3 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Next bill on the calendar will be Senate File 321. Secretary will give Senate File 321 its third reading.
Senate File 321, a bill for an act relating to state government, including independent nonprofit firefighting corporations for joint exercise of power agreements.
Secretary will take the roll. Senator Sieben, did you wish to vote on this bill? Yeah, watch the everybody up on the board. All senators having voted. And he's, they come pretty fast, these votes on the calendar, so I would, you got to get here. All senators having voted. Desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 60 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Next, we will, next order of business is a consent calendar. There is one bill today on the consent calendar, Senate File 54, Senator Tomassoni.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate File number 54 is a bill that comes to us as a request from the Hibbing City Council. It's the dissolution and discontinuance of the Hibbing Area Redevelopment Agency. It's not an active agency. They use the Hibbing Economic Development Agency instead, and all they're going to do here is dissolve the old one, transfer the assets to the one that's currently being used, and this bill allows that to happen.
Any discussion on Senate File 54? Seeing none, the Secretary will give Senate File 54 its third reading.
Senate File 54, a bill for an act relating to economic development, dissolving the Hibbing Area Redevelopment Agency, transferring assets and liabilities to the Hibbing Economic Development Authority.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 58 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Next order of business is general orders. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move the Senate do now resolve itself into Committee of the Whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The committee shall be in order.
And Mr. President,
Senator Pogemiller.
I think we should take up 1 and 2. Take them in order. If so, I didn't ask, is Senator Gerlach ready to go?
Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate file number 374 be recommended to pass.
Senator Gerlach, on the discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. It's our first bill for debate today, and this is simply a bill to repeal some statute that we have. It's on the books what we refer to as ticket scalping, or selling tickets to entertainment events for a price that is higher than the original sale was. That is against the law, and there are criminal penalties for that. I think the time has come for us as a state to look at this law and to repeal it. There's a lot of reasons why. First of all, let me tell you that the market is changing dramatically and across the country. And in fact, Minnesota is now in a dwindling minority of states that prohibit this. In fact, there's only about 10 or 11 states. And last summer, I read that Florida repealed their statutes, which was over 60 years old. Our statutes on the book are about a little over 40 years. In fact, our statute against ticket scalping went on the books in 1963. Back then, the market was a very different place. When we say ticket scalping, we're envisioning someone standing on the street corner hawking tickets. Maybe they tried to capture a block of tickets and are gouging consumers and this sort of thing. Today, that possibility is diminished greatly. In fact, the internet and the computers have changed everything.
Listen to Senator Gerlach's explanation of the bill. Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You're probably familiar, all of you, and maybe you've taken part in it, that on eBay or Ticket King, a lot of these online services from around the country offer tickets, and there is a thriving secondary market in many of those states, a very legitimate market. And I would argue that, when we talk about secondary markets, you know, we don't talk about those being illegitimate when we talk about real estate or stocks or art or baseball cards. All of those things have markets which fluctuate, which people can offer for sale, and it's a valid contract. You have a willing buyer and a willing seller. They come together, and certainly if there is a public interest in nullifying these contracts, I think that we take action on that. I would argue that there is no public purpose served in these sorts of willing contracts, and that when the issue about fraud is brought up, the section of statute that I'm proposing we repeal doesn't have anything to do with fraud. Fraud is against the law, period. We have an entire lengthy section of statutes, section 325F, which deals with fraud in any kind of imaginable permutation, and this is certainly still covered under that. I think that oftentimes we can have even greater protections for the public when we have an open and legitimate market as opposed to an underground black market. We're going to have brokers who already exist today, but they will be incented to incorporate. And also, we're going to have, you know, the government could certainly regulate how this is operated. It doesn't, by repealing the statute, doesn't mean we're saying completely hands off. Local governments could certainly set aside rules regarding licensure, regarding taxation, regarding all sorts of things, as well as the state can. And so we're going to have plenty of mechanisms to weed out any bad actors. I think that clearly there's an issue about police resources here. Everybody I've talked to about this will nod their head in agreement and say, you know what, there probably are greater necessities that we want our police to be dealing with out there on the streets, and that trying to go after people who are trying to make deals on entertainment tickets is probably not the highest and best use of our limited police resources. I think that certainly this is going to have a positive impact on our tax base. We have companies in Wisconsin where ticket scalping is legal operating right in Hudson, Wisconsin. Ticket King is based there. And, of course, they operate and sell all sorts of tickets for the market in the metropolitan area, and that's currently not on the books. It's not part of Minnesota's economic structure. So, members, for all of those reasons, I would encourage you to support this bill. It does have bipartisan support, if you've looked at the authors on it, and there has been no testimony in committees in either body against this bill and this proposal. And for all those reasons, again, I would say the time has come, and I would appreciate your support on this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion on Senate File 372, Senator Betzel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Gerlach, one of the questions that one of the concerns that I raised in the Judiciary Committee, I wish you would address. Your bill repeals the entire section of 609.0805 subdivision 2. And I agree with the thrust of it that if somebody wants to get around the law, they can. They can take some tickets to a popular event, add a can of beer and say the can of beer is worth $100, so I'm going to sell it all as a package. But the section that you're proposing to repeal also requires that the tickets to event be printed in a conspicuous place, the price of the ticket, and the seat number, if any. So I'm just wondering why we would be repealing the requirement in law that requires that tickets have a seat number on it, because if you're buying a ticket to an event that has assigned seating, shouldn't that be on the ticket?
Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Senator Betzold. That's a good point, and we did have that discussion in committee. When the statute was put together decades ago, we didn't have computerized barcodes. And as an attempt, my understanding in talking with people about this and trying to figure out why that language existed in the law was when you have a seat number, well, then there's some legitimacy to the ticket, and you're going to find out that if someone has sold a counterfeit ticket, that obviously you can't have two people in the same seat. The reason in the statute that exists for printing the price of the ticket is obvious, because the statute currently reads that you can't sell the ticket for above that face value. So if we're going to repeal the statute, we might as well do the whole thing. The printing the price on the ticket offers there's no compelling governmental reason to have that on there. I think that probably as a practice, that Ticketmaster, any venue that's going to sell tickets, is likely going to continue to print this information on their tickets because it is a good consumer practice. I think that we're all accustomed to seeing that, and that these venues are going to continue to do that. As far as the fraud piece goes, it's outdated because it's not necessary for that purpose. Again, these tickets are printed with barcodes, which are not easily counterfeited, and if they are, we still have all of the anti-counterfeiting consumer protection statutes that exist in Section 325.
Senator Betzel.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Senator Gerlach, a barcode doesn't help me as a consumer. If I buy a ticket, I would like to be able to look at the ticket and find out where the seating is located. And so barcode doesn't change any of that. If I want to have an upper deck or a lower deck seat, I'd like to know that when I buy the ticket. Again, the law right now requires that the ticket seat number, if any, be printed on the ticket. And we're repealing that in addition to everything else. I'm just kind of concerned that I think there's a reason why the seat number should be in there. And repealing the whole statute just takes that out. I think the members ought to be aware that that's what they're voting for.
Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Senator Betzold. There's no question. I mean, if we vote to repeal this, that does not mean that seat numbers are not going to be printed on tickets. Far from the contrary, there is a compelling reason for the market, for the people who produce these shows and these sporting events. They are going to, because they charge different rates for different seats, and everybody has season tickets and they have their seats, they're going to continue to do that as they do today. There's no question about that. But we're not going to have it in law requiring it, because it's obsolete and it's not necessary to have that in law. There's no public purpose, governmental purpose served by having that in statute. The marketplace will demand that.
Senator Betzel.
Well, again, Mr. President, members, just be aware the law requires that there be a seat number printed on the tickets. We're repealing that, so there doesn't have to be in. I don't see how that helps the consumer.
Senator Cohn.
Mr. Chairman, just a parenthetical note. I have some sympathy with Senator Gerlach's bill, but I do want to point out, at least given where we are at this point, in the context of some of these teams, I have season tickets, 50-yard line season tickets for the Vikings on the second deck, and I tried to sell some of my tickets on the street this past season. I couldn't get anywhere near face value. So, Senator Gerlach, it might not be needed right now.
Any further discussion on Senate File 372? Seeing none, the question occurs on the motion of Senator Gerlach that Senate File 372 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. The next bill on general orders. Senate File Number 302, Senator Foley.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File Number 302 be recommended to pass.
Senator Foley on the bill.
This bill is one that originated with the state DWI task force. They've been responsible for a significant amount of legislation dealing with DWI offenders. The president of this organization is Professor Steve Simon, and many members know and have worked with him on these issues. Start with Section 1. All this does is add the name phlebotomist to the list. A phlebotomist is an individual that spends their day withdrawing blood from individuals, and it's not an uncommon practice in the large hospitals, and generally there's nothing much there when they're small. Sections 2 through 5 and 8 and 9 amend the criminal code in regard to operation of things. They only make one substantive change, and that was one that was made last session, and somehow or another in the compiling of the bill, it wasn't included. What this does is deal with the metabolites of Schedule 1 and Schedule 2 controlled substances and makes them an offense the same as the original 1 and 2 would be. Section 6 and 7 deal with special rules regarding evidence, and the recent Minnesota Supreme Court in State v. Caulfield held that our statute on that was didn't inform the defendant of the consequences to failure to make a request for the reporters prepare to testify as it was on that. Basically, what that amounted to was that the individual person would submit a blood sample or another test, and then the matter would it would not require the presence of the laboratory person that did the reading of that. Supreme Court said that that wasn't appropriate, and they had to, as a minimum, any statute purporting to admit testimonial reports without the presence of the preparer must provide adequate notice to the defendant of the content of the report and the likely consequences of his or her failure to request the testimony of the preparer. Otherwise, there is no reasonable basis to conclude that the defendant failed to request testimony on this. Further, Section 6 requires the prosecutor to submit to the accused person the notice of the contents of the report, sought to be admitted into evidence, and also get that in before 20 days before the trial. Section 7 provides that the accused not comply with the requirements and time of the person testimony, the preparer of the report, the prosecutor is not required to produce the person at trial. Section 8 provides a reviser instruction, change the statutory references consistent with the restructuring of the criminal vehicular operations law. Section 9 repeals 5 subdivisions of the criminal vehicular operations law, no longer necessary in light of the restructuring of sections 2 and 5. And that is the explanation of the purpose of this bill. Senator Neville has submitted previously an amendment in the committee hearing, and he has another one to clarify that language. I would therefore yield to Senator Neville.
That's Mike. Do you want to? Senator Neville.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer the A4 amendment.
Secretary will report the Neville A4 amendment.
Senator Neville moves to amend Senate File 302 as follows, page 2, line 32. This is amendment A-4.
Senator Neville on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, Section 6 of this bill is an amendment that I offered in committee that was adopted. This amendment makes no substantive change from that Section 6, but what it does is rather than redefining, making a new definition of gross negligence, it's deleting that language and putting the substantive requirements in Section 1 of the bill. So I'm moving the substance of Section 6 into Section 1, and I am not changing the definition of gross negligence. There was some concern expressed after the hearing about the potential effect that could have on some case law definition of gross negligence. So the effect of this amendment is to keep all the case law intact with respect to the definition of gross negligence, but move the substantive provision of Section 6 into Section 1 of the bill. If anyone has a question, I'd be happy to answer it.
Any discussion on the Neville amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor? Senator, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Further discussion on Senate File 302 as amended. Seeing none, the question occurs on the motion of the Senator that Senate File 302 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I move that the committee do now rise and report.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogermiller.
Is the Senate in order, Mr. President?
Senate's in order.
I move the report of the Committee of the Whole be kept as by the Secretary be now adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The next order of business is the introduction and first reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's agenda. There are three changes. On page 3, Senate File 798 will go to the Transportation Committee. Senate File 801 to the State and Local Committee. And on page 7, Senate File 843 will go to the Health and Housing Committee. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills. Announcements of Senate interests. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. Chairman, I want to mention to the Majority Caucus members, there's a caucus in room 112 immediately following session. Room 112. Okay. And if there are no other announcements.
Mr. Majority Leader without objection, Senator Torres Ray, Senator Ortman, Senator Salzman will be excused from today's session all day. Senator Coring from 11 to 11:15. Bach and Chaudhry from 11 to 11:20. And Senator Day for all the whole day's session. Senator Porgemiller.
And Mr. President, I want to remind members that when we go on the calendar early in the session, each day the votes come very quickly. So when we get to the calendar, you should stay in your seat, and then things will move quicker. Mr. President, I move that the Senate do adjourn now till February 19th, 11 a.m., and that is President's Day. And, Mr. President, did you want to mention something about?
Thank you, Senator Pogermiller. We've invited all the ex-presidents of the Senate to come here President's Day, and we've got a little cake in the back room, and so it's going to be a nice day for the ex-presidents, I'm sure. Senator Pogermiller.
Then I renew my motion to adjourn till February 19th, 11 a.m.
On the motion to adjourn, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate stands adjourned.